Today is March 27th, 1997, and I am Betty Meyer. I'm a volunteer interviewer for the Germans from Russia Heritage Collection at North Dakota State University Libraries in Fargo. And Chris Meyer is also here as a volunteer interviewer. And it's a pleasure to visit with Pauline Munch Nelson, Munch being her maiden name, in Mesa, Arizona. And we are at her apartment or room at the New West Senior Housing Center. Mm-hmm. Five words is too long for me.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are here, and Pauline is going to answer some of the questions that we have on our interview form, but we're going to have a lot of other interesting things going on, too. So let me ask you, what is your name and your birth date and where you were born?
My name is Pauline Munch Nelson. Geboren am 3. September 1911 in Saland, North Dakota, 2 miles south von der kleinen Stadt Saland.
Okay. Now, will you say that in English?
Say it in English?
Yeah, say it in English.
Oh, my name is Pauline Munch Nelson. I was born September the 3rd, 1911 at Zeeland, North Dakota, 2 miles south of the little town, McIntosh County. And we lived on a farm that was divided between North and South Dakota. So we had one well with a windmill in North Dakota, and then had a pipe running from there to South Dakota, because we had the cattle pasture in that section. And that's where they got their water from, out of the trough.
How did you know that was, which was North Dakota and which was South Dakota?
Well, I think we knew it all our life, because Grandpa Munch used to live on that farm. And he had most of the buildings in South Dakota at that time. But that was made out of sod houses.
Mm.
And so when they built their new home, they built it in North Dakota. So there was just a road that divided the two. And they had a statue in the corner of our garden where the two roads met. And one was the North Dakota and one was South Dakota. It said it right on that granite.
Those were state boundary markers.
That's right.
They were.
But
they took
it out when they built a road through there, a county road, instead of just a little 2x4. So I don't know where it went to.
Well, there are some markers still along that border. I know we saw it when we went down to the Missouri River, so
good.
There are probably some left, but not very many. My next question is going to be, what was the name of your father, and do you know what village that he was born in?
Now, do you want this in English or German?
We want everything in English.
Oh.
And the reason for that is a lot of people don't understand German that are going to be using these.
Yeah. My dad's father was Andrew Munch. And what was the next question?
Do you know what village he came from?
Oh, yeah. He came from Worms, South Russia.
Okay.
W-O-R-M-S.
Uh-huh.
And my dad was from Johannesburg. No.
No, was that your grandfather we were talking about, Andrew?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That was Andrew, and then your dad was Christian?
Right. Christian Munch.
Okay. And do you know where he was born then? Your father was born in
Johannesfeld.
And your grandfather, your father's father, was born in
Worms.
In Worms. Okay, we got that straight then.
Mm-hmm.
And where did he die, your father now, we're talking about?
At Napoleon.
Okay.
When we lived there. But he was buried in Ardis, South Dakota.
Okay.
And his dad, Andrew Munch, is also buried there. He's about the fifth or eighth one in the first row.
Oh.
They went down the rows. They didn't have the plots at that time. So whoever died next would be the
just
next
in line. What was the name of your mother?
Her maiden name was Gruzy.
How do you spell that?
Gruzie.
Okay. And where was she born?
In Kassel, South Russia.
South Russia. Did she come over with her family then?
With her mother. Her dad had died in Russia.
And where did your mother die then?
Mother died at Wishik Hospital.
Oh, okay.
But we took her down there for burial.
At Ardis.
At Ardis.
How many brothers and sisters did you have in your family?
No brothers, two sisters, and they were older than me.
Okay. Can you give me name the oldest one?
Minnie, and she died in 91, and Emma died at Napoleon and is buried at Napoleon, and she died in 1990.
Okay. Do you have any recollections of what your mother told you about the old country?
She used to tell me a lot of stories, but at that time I did not write them down, and I'm very, very sorry I didn't, because they were very, very interesting because of being over there. And she was only 15 years old when she came over, and she had even worked out in the steppes, you say?
Prairies.
And the, and they didn't have harvesting machines at that time. So they would put it in stacks. And then when there was a good wind, they would try to get the grain off of the straw. And so she'd have to be out there and put it in the wind in order to get the grain to settle on the ground, which they could fill up in containers and use or sell.
That's interesting. Any other stories that you remember she told you about?
I don't remember many stories, but I know she would tell me just to amuse me sometimes. But I didn't write them down.
Isn't that too bad that we don't do that?
Yes.
Was there anything that your father told you about the old country?
Dad was 3 years old when he came over.
Oh.
And sometimes when they were visiting with people, he would start telling them about Russia. And Mother would interrupt and say, "You don't know anything about Russia at 3 years old."
He probably heard some stories, though. Huh?
Yeah, sure. He would remember those stories and tell them when they'd visit.
That's interesting. Are there any other stories about villages specifically that you might have learned from villages?
Villages?
In South Russia that you might have heard from your grandparents or...
Yeah, grandmother used to tell me too, but I lived with them quite a bit because my mother was sick. And she would tell me about... In fact, she taught me to count up to 10, but I don't remember all of it in Russian.
In Russian?
Yeah. Один, два, три, Jadiri, Biet, Schist, Sam, Yesup, and then the other two, I don't remember.
That's wonderful. That's great. Did your relatives ever wish they were back in the old country? Were they homesick?
I think my grandmother was, but not my mother. My mother was always fearful that someday somebody's going to come and send her back to Russia because she had no documents. And Dad would get these census reports from the county and show her that, you know, she's stable. Mm-hmm. But she wouldn't believe. I mean, she'd worry about them coming and taking her and putting her back to Russia.
Now, when they came over, how did they come? Do you have any details?
Yeah, on the ship, Da Große, the Great. Mm-hmm. And it took about 3 weeks to get over.
Do you know where they landed?
Yeah, in New York. And that island?
Ellis Island.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Mother told me that they had lots of rats and lots of mice on there. It was filthy.
On the ship.
On the ship. Mm-hmm. But of course they had to eat. Mm-hmm. And Grandma, I still had the container. I hope they didn't throw it away. But anyway, she had that's salt that they use for laxative.
Epsom salts.
Epsom salts in there, and she would take that every 2 days or so. Mm-hmm. And she never was without it as long as I knew her. Hmm. But that's what was in there, and that's what she brought over in that container.
Now, what year are we talking about that they came over? Do you recall?
I would say 1900.
Oh, okay.
And Mother was born in 1885. So she was 15 years old. Mm-hmm. She remembered a lot of those things if I had just written them down. But she came over with her mother, as well as her brother, who was about 4 years younger than she. Mm-hmm. He's gone now. Mm-hmm. But she had to take care of him quite often. And grandmother was a widow, because my mother's father died over there, and they don't even know where he's buried. Mm-hmm. But that's what she used to tell me. And grandmother had an awful hard time.
There should be some good records in Ellis Island.
Yeah, that late 1900, there
mm-hmm.
should be good records.
And the Große ship. And that ship, Mother told me, was sunk one time.
After they came over.
Yeah, mm-hmm. not right away, but a mm-hmm. few more trips and it mm-hmm. sunk.
Did your family get any news from the old country after they came over here on either side?
Not my mother or dad, no. But my grandmother did. She used to get letters from over there. And the best place that she got information was the Staatsanzeiger. That newspaper, she would look for it. Boy, that was just like getting a letter. Mm-hmm. And she'd mm-hmm. look to see what Dorf they came from. Mm-hmm. And then she'd read the whole paper. And it told of how much the sugar was and how much the flour was. At that time, they didn't have bread. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They always
made their own.
Why, sure. Mm-hmm. In fact, when I first got married, I used to make homemade bread.
I think most people had to. There were no bakeries.
But I that was in 44. Uh-huh. But I like the bread so much better than what you can buy at the store.
And you lived in North Dakota where they have the good hard wheat?
Yeah, but I, at that time, I already lived in Bismarck.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Uh-huh. What language did you speak as a child?
Everything in German. I couldn't even tell you what an English word was at the time.
And have you continued to speak German when there was somebody to talk to? Did you continue to speak German in your family as you grew up then?
Mm-hmm. Mother never learned the English language. Now, she could speak it if she had to, and she can decipher it or understand. But when one of us was around, she would not do it because she was afraid she was going to say the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Now, we know what dialect that is. That's the
Schwabisch
dialect?
Schwabisch,
excuse me.
Schwabisch?
Schwabisch.
That's right.
Okay.
Schwabisch. Oh.
My husband just added, he says, this Norwegian says Schwabisch, but it's Schwabisch.
Schwabisch? Oh, I have to write that down in my notes here, because I never remember Schwabisch.
What were some of your childhood chores that you really enjoyed doing?
None of them. I was a cripple since I was 7.
But you have to explain that. You can't say that you were a cripple. There had to be physically something wrong.
Yeah, at 7. I was a perfect child until 7.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got this tuberculosis of the bone.
Mm-hmm. See, there's a reason.
Yeah. And from then on, I was sick until I was about 27. Because I had 20 surgeries on this leg.
Oh, my.
And, of course, now I still go on crutches. And the first crutches that I had, my dad made out of broomsticks.
Oh.
And I walked in them for a while, because he just added a little piece for my palm of my hand and put a bar
across the top.
On the top
mm-hmm.
until I got the next pair. Mm-hmm. Then I went out gopher hunting. We used
what
to
did you do there? Did you snare them or what? Drown them out?
No, I trapped them.
Oh, you did?
I trapped them because I was getting a penny or two for each tail that we took over to Ashley, the McIntosh County county seat.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted that money.
You bet.
But it was lost in the bank when the bank went down. Went broke in the
Depression
years. I lost about $75.
That was a lot of money in those days.
It was a lot of gophers, wasn't it?
It wasn't all gophers, because people would give me money sometimes when they'd come to see us, 5 or 10 cents. That was a lot of money. And I'll have to tell you about the story about the gophers, because I was always using one end of the crutch to put in the trap. And one day it broke on me. And so Mother came to my rescue, because I was trying to get home on one crutch. And I knew that my daddy was a little bit, would be a little bit harsh on me for doing that. So I didn't want to tell him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the evening, when he came home, I tried to go on those crutches. And of course, there wasn't enough glue or whatever she used. And the one of them, of course, collapsed. So that's my gopher story.
Okay, let's go. What was the punishment then?
He didn't punish me for that. But he was, he punished me a lot of times. And he wouldn't use this side to slap me with. He used the other side.
Oh, he used the good side.
To paddle my canoe.
Do you remember what some things that you were disciplined for?
Well, for being hesitant to talk to visitors.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was quite a man for talking, visiting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My mother wasn't. But I got so that I didn't want to talk either.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't want that. He wanted me to speak up when I was talked to. But I was only heard when I was asked.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, no.
Mm-hmm.
You were seen but not heard.
Mm-hmm. Now, were your sisters disciplined too then in that respect?
No, my sisters were 4 and 5 years older.
Oh, okay.
And they had to do all the chores. They said they used to hear my crying out in the barn when they were milking the cows. I had a very good voice, and I still have it, from crying so much. Going back, as far as my chores were concerned, I had to wash the dishes. That was my job, and I hated it. So I would cry most of the time. And I think I washed more dishes with tears than I did with the boiling water from the tea kettle. And then my little mother would come, and she'd have mercy on me, and she'd wash the rest of them.
Mothers are special, aren't they?
They sure are.
Now, did you go to school?
Oh, yes. I went to school. But because of my disease working during the winter time, every winter we had that trouble. It would swell up with this congestion and inflammation. And then I had to go to the hospital and have it operated on. And they would scrape the bone at times and take all that pus out of there. Well, of course, I couldn't go to school during those
mm-hmm.
days.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we didn't have no tutor.
No.
So I...
As a result, you missed quite a bit of school then.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. Very much so. And then I jumped a few classes. But I came out with salutatorian of my 8th grade graduation. Then I was a little bit too old. I was 16. And Dad says, well, now you make your choice. Do you want to go to high school or do you want to go to business college? Well, high school would have been to Ashley. And business college was to go to Bismarck. So I chose Bismarck and went to 2 years of business college over there.
Okay.
Then when I went to Los Angeles after I was married, I went to 4 years of Bible college.
Hmm.
Never was tardy, never was late.
That's wonderful.
And came out as valedictorian of my class.
My goodness. So what kind of a degree did you get from
theology.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what college to be specific?
Life Bible College.
Life Bible College.
Right.
In Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles.
That's an accomplishment.
Well, at the time, I didn't realize it, but now I do. Because
mm-hmm.
I had to go a few blocks to catch the trolley. The red trolley that we used to have in California.
Mm-hmm.
And that would take me into Los Angeles. And I got right off where the college was.
Mm-hmm.
But even if it flooded the intersections, I still went.
You did.
I did.
Did you use your education after you graduated?
Well, to a certain degree. I was a Sunday school teacher for about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did little sermonettes once in a while, mm-hmm, for little groups.
Mm-hmm. I need to go back to your schooling in North Dakota. Were there other nationalities of children in the school with you?
No.
All German?
All German.
Did you speak German in school? Or
we're not allowed to because of that the First World War.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can I tell you about what happened?
You sure may.
Okay. In South Dakota, they were not allowed to preach German. North Dakota did not have that law. So we had a double porch on our farmhouse. So Dad invited the church to come up to our place, and the preacher would stand right in the middle of that porch and preach a sermon.
In German?
In German. The English didn't come in until about 25 to 30 in there,
mm-hmm,
is where they probably had a special number in, mm-hmm, English.
So this was the evangelical minister then that came up from South Dakota?
From Eureka.
From Eureka.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a difference between... did you go to a farm school or did you go to a town school?
No, the town school, the farm had already been abandoned.
Okay.
And we were sent to Zeeland to school. That's where I started.
Okay.
But my two sisters, I don't know how many years they had there, one or two in the farm.
Mm-hmm. In a one-room school?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. We started talking about religion. Was the religion and church important in your upbringing in Zeeland?
Oh, my, yes.
Was it?
Because they were always praying for me to be healed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes my family was beside themselves because my dad would stay up one night with me, mother the next night. And they'd have to rub this leg so in order to have me sleep. There were no aspirins at that time.
Mm-mm.
Nothing.
Was there a doctor available?
There was a family doctor, but he sent us to Rochester, Minnesota.
Oh.
And that's where I started my surgeries.
Mm-hmm. That was a long way to go in those days, wasn't it?
Yeah, we went by train. And they took me off the off the passenger coach because my leg was draining. And Dad had a lot of things wrapped around it, even newspapers, but it got through that and dripped on the floor. Well, that was not, uncalled for. So what did they do? They put me in the where they have the cream.
Baggage
compartment. But every time the train stopped at a station, that place got so awfully, awfully cold because it was in November.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad was afraid I might get blood poisoning on it. So anyway, he got me through there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the last one of the family here now.
Mm-hmm. The other ones have passed away, huh?
Yeah.
You mentioned that your church services and prayers were all in German.
Yeah.
When did you said that they must have switched to English about 1925 to 1930. Was your mother and father accepting of this change?
My dad did, but not mother. Mother never did because she never knew the English. I mean, she didn't want to,
mm-hmm,
really fluently use it or
yeah,
something.
Yeah. Well, she maybe didn't have the opportunity either that
no,
the rest of the family did.
No, because every place she went in Zeeland, you know, artists, they were all German. Grocery stores were German.
Mm-hmm.
She could talk to the grocery man.
Mm-hmm. Were you baptized and confirmed then in the church, or?
I was baptized as an infant.
Okay.
In the Reformed Church. At that time, they were still going to the Reformed. Now, then they changed over to the Evangelical Church at Ardis. This other one was in Zealand. And then I was confirmed in Eureka in the German language.
Oh, you were?
Yes.
So you had to respond to their questions in German.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we had had to sing a German song. The ones, see, our parents wanted us to be confirmed in the German language.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's laying over there, my catechism.
Okay. Were there other special activities that were related to your confirmation? Do you remember anything?
We didn't have our picture taken, which always makes me feel bad that we didn't. But we didn't have anything special except the family might have had a dinner or something with the rest of the family. Yeah. Now, I had this came to me last year. Yeah, take that off.
Pauline has her catechism, or not catechism, her confirmation book here that has her name in it. Couple of times in the front of it.
Yeah, and because Minnie had it. My sister was the first one to have it.
And it's all in German, and it looks just like a confirmation book. And it's well worn.
I read it over every once in a while.
That's nice. Not too many people have kept that because, let's see, you were born in 1911.
And that was 1927.
This was in 1927, mm-hmm. So I don't know if there's a copyright date in this. Yes, there is.
Is there?
1907. Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on. And my next question, I guess, is was your parents and your grandparents involved in founding and joining any other church other than?
Yeah, because Dad had the experience of a born-again experience,
mm-hmm.
which is conversion. They called it a conversion. And he had it in the barn when he was tending to his horses.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so excited about the born-again experience that he and Mother packed up on a buggy and they went all over the neighborhood to announce it.
My goodness.
Then they went from the Reformed Church, not that they didn't believe in it, but they didn't have any evangelistic meetings or revival meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went to the Evangelical Church in Ardis, and my grandmother only lived a block from there.
So geographically, the Ardis Church was closer to your farm at the time?
No, that was 5 miles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they had to travel then?
Yeah, with the buggy
and
horses.
Mm-hmm. How did your family deal with death? Did they grieve, and how? If so, how?
No, there was crying, moaning, and what goes with a funeral. But I don't recall them grieving too much.
Mm-hmm. Did they wear black?
Yes, yes. Everybody wore black for a funeral.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were there any special songs?
Yes. I got one written down here, if I can find it now. Wolfin detti sele di heimati ru. Verdeck si mit schitzen den fietigen su. That's all I know.
That's wonderful. Wonderful. I think that your memory is fantastic.
Thank you. I need that.
I hope I'm that when I get to this age.
You're not that age now.
And I know I can't remember. Do you remember what the cemeteries looked like at Artists? Did they have any iron crosses there?
Not too many, because we didn't have Catholics around there. Mm-hmm. Now, in Sealand they did, because Sealand was more or less of a Catholic town. And I remember the crosses in the cemeteries, but we only had them as the marble or the granite would show. Mm-hmm. Nothing spectacular.
Mm-hmm. So the shapes really had no special meaning to it then,
mm-mm,
or special design?
No.
Did your family ever have any heirlooms or objects of sentimental value that they brought from South Russia or that they handed down on either side?
Yes. My grandmother had a woolen shawl that she brought over from Russia, and she never had a coat. I mean, she would wear that to go to church or anywhere she went. Now, my mother got it as an heirloom from her mother.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got it.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave it to my niece, who's in Detroit Lakes. And she's willing to give it to this organization.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
What is your niece's name?
Dolores Hansen.
Another Norwegian?
Yeah, we all married Norwegians.
I won't say anything.
They're stubborn as the Germans are. Let's face it.
Well, are there any stories connected with that shawl that you...
Not
remember?
To my knowledge, but I know that Grandma brought it over in 1900, and she wore it. She never had a coat for years and years. I don't know if she even had a coat when she passed away, but that was her shawl.
I wonder, did she make it, or was it woven?
I don't know. She might have made the tassels on it, because it had long tassels. Beautiful, and she was able to do that on scarves. When she made a scarf, she put the tassel on.
So it was a skill that she had learned over there.
Right.
When Christmas was celebrated in your family, let me back up. Were there any other treasures or heirlooms that you can remember?
Not that I...
A family Bible or...
There was a family Bible, but we can't trace it.
Okay. Sometimes those things are lost.
Yeah.
When Christmas was celebrated in your family, do you remember anything about those celebrations?
Well, we used to make popcorn and then string it, and that was our on the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Or wherever. It might have been the kitchen, because we didn't always have a tree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there weren't that many trees out there in the prairies of North Dakota. Mm-hmm. Do you remember some of the Christmases during the Depression years?
No, because you could have popcorn anytime.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to have Chris ask you the next question.
Okay.
I'm not going to be ashamed of how I pronounce these words.
Oh, do you remember anything about the Bildschirnigel?
The what city? The big city?
No, Bildschirnigel. Was it Christkind?
Grishkind, yes.
Yeah.
They used to say the Grishkind.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Belsenigel.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to have that. But they were both of them myths.
Yeah. Now, when you, on Christmas Eve, when you got your gifts, the Belsenigel and the Grishkind, what did they used to bring you?
Wait a minute. Grishkindl is Jesus Christ. That's not a myth.
No.
I was wrong. But Belsenigel is. It was usually our manila sack with a few candy in it, a few dates, a few figs, maybe an orange or an apple. And I used to love Cracker Jacks, so I'd get a Cracker Jack in mine. And that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
And nuts, of course.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of nuts that they could buy at the store.
Mm-hmm. What were some of the Easter activities?
Well, we always colored eggs. You know, the kids all did, you know, all we colored them in coffee cups.
Mm-hmm.
And of course then we had those for Easter morning. And then the kids, we always made a little nest.
Indoors or outdoors?
Oh, indoors.
Indoors.
It's cold, yeah, back there. But they'd put candy and things like that in there.
And then you'd go hunting for it?
No, we didn't have to hunt because we put up our own.
Okay.
And all three of us did that. That was our Easter. Then, of course, we had to go to church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We went to church on Fridays, Good Friday.
Good Friday.
And all day on
Saturdays.
No, Saturday mm-hmm. we didn't have to go, but Sundays we did.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
How long were your services then on Good Friday?
Sometimes a long time, because whatever the preacher wanted to do, he was able to do it. If he wanted to preach 2 hours, that's fine. It wasn't clockwise like it is nowadays. You have to be through at 12 o'clock.
Okay, we're going to skip on now to marriage ceremonies. Do you remember any of those?
Oh, yes. They would come in, there was no celebration, because you see, those churches at that time did not have basements, so there was no fellowship hall,
mm-hmm.
no place to have food or anything else. So the bridal party, the two of them, just the groom and the bride, would come in just as the service would begin. And the service would be held regularly. And then after the service, they would say, well, here's a couple that wants to get married. And they had two chairs in the aisle in front.
Mm-hmm.
They'd get up and have their marriage vows. Then the minister would preach a marriage sermon to them. At that time, there was no such a thing as rings. So that's what they were. They were married.
They were married.
And they went up.
So there was there a reception held then at the home?
No reception. Except if the farmhouse had it,
mm-hmm.
where they came from.
From the parents?
Yeah.
Home. Okay. Was there any music there?
Not really, unless they had a piano mm-hmm. or an old organ. Then they probably would.
Did they do dancing?
No.
No dancing.
No, our church did not believe in dancing.
Okay. Was there any wedding special food at any of those?
Well, they had plenty of food because, you know, they were all on the farm, more or less.
Uh-huh.
So they had all the meat they wanted, whether it was beef or pork or whatever. And then, of course, they made a salad once in a while, but it wasn't a green salad. It might have been a potato rice salad.
Okay. So the bride and the groom then didn't have any special clothing either then. They just wore clothing?
No, they had a special dress. I mean, my sisters did.
Mm-hmm.
And he might have had a new suit. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about as far as it went.
How about your own wedding?
Well, we had a bigger wedding because that was in Bismarck.
Mm-hmm.
But I had my regular veil and white dress, and he came back from the service. He was in World War II, and so he had to wear his uniform regardless.
Okay.
So that's what we were married in.
And you were married in Bismarck, and which church were you married in?
Evangelical.
Evangelical Church in Bismarck.
In Bismarck, on 7th Street. But it's now gone. They've taken it off for parking lot or something.
Mm-hmm. But I bet church records are around someplace.
Oh, I imagine so.
Registered in that.
Yeah. And Reverend Reuben R. Stritz married us. He was very well known in North Dakota and South Dakota. And then they went to Montana to preach over there.
How did you meet your husband?
Well, that was funny. He was a guitar player and also plays the musical saw. And so he